Very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So now it's exactly 3 p.m. on a Sunday, 14th of June 2020. We will commence our Sunday class, which is the sharing from our book, The Unique Code by Brother Teo, straight from the heart. We are at page 42. Verse unit code number 151. Unit code verse 151. To see beyond mind, one must have the ability to develop the direct seeing. We are the silent mind in pure awareness. To see things as they are without words and concept. So by now, I think most of us, Kaya Mita, should have understood this deep meaning. So to see beyond mind here means beyond the mundane mind, the thought process, the thinking. One must have the ability to develop the direct seeing via the silent mind in pure awareness. Then only you can see things as they are without the words and the concept, means without the perception. Mundane mind is consciousness and is content created by the conditioning of the brain. So this mundane mind is consciousness and is content. We call it the thought or creation of mind. True mind is pure awareness before the knowing or perception. Always remember that. When wisdom arises, the phenomenal world of form and consciousness will have no power over you, and they will like collapse in front of you. Means when you can see through form, when you can see through consciousness or the mind, then they have no more power over you. It's like the whole of the phenomenal world of form and consciousness just collapse, and against your wisdom, they have no answer because you can see through them, understand them clearly. So there is no way they can deceive you anymore. So the uniqueness of this direct seeing is very powerful. That's why to see beyond mind, you must have the silent mind in pure awareness. Fully aware, constantly aware, ever mindful. Then unique code 152. Understanding the meaning of condition arising. This one is also very useful, very important. Whatever that is born of nature's creation, following nature's law, is a condition arising cause of phenomena. When condition comes together, it arises. When condition continues to sustain itself, it continues to exist. When condition ceases to be, it ceases. Hence, it is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to as the me and the I. It is not you, not self. For it comes and it goes, dependent on nature's condition. It is in a state of flux, constantly evolving. If you understand this, then you will understand the universal characteristics of change, anicca. Then we move on to the next unit code. Now this part you have to listen. This is a fallacy that most Buddhists or cultivator, they get caught because they become gullible. They used to teach what they call the practice of letting go. And for those who understand, this is a fallacy, an illusion, based on Dhamma knowledge. You know what is Dhamma knowledge? They're based on knowledge. It sounds like very logical. Yeah, la, let go la. If I don't let go, I get caught. But the reality, when you awaken, you realize the wise one did not let go. Because of their wisdom, they cannot cling, they cannot hold, they cannot grasp. So they are no longer deluded. So if they are not holding, not clinging, no grasping, what is there to let go? Who let go? The one who attach and cling tries to let go. That's why this is a fallacy. This is gullible. That's why there is no such practice to let go. What is there to practice? Practice is mechanical, repetitive. Wisdom, when you have it, you awaken to it, is there. The moment you have wisdom, you no need to do anything. You have that wisdom, liberate your mind, free your mind. With that wisdom, you cannot cling, you cannot hold. Then there is no need to let go. The one who let go has a delusion. That's why they will cling, they will grasp, they will hold. And when they already have the delusion, they want to practice letting go. You see the delusion behind. They've been gullible, they cannot see that. So, who needs to let go? The deluded one with the delusion try to let go. No meaning. The letting go is a thought, is a knowledge, is not wisdom. That's why they appear logical, sound logical. Especially if they tell you the other popularly accepted teaching. Cut at feeling, is it? When you cut at feeling, feeling cannot be conditioned into craving. They say, you like that, you can let go. But the question is, when there is no wisdom, feeling cannot remain as pure feeling. You can see in the meditation, it straight away condition you into delusion. Then feeling becomes craving. Straight away, you cannot stop. Where you lack wisdom, there is no initial wisdom. Yoniso manasikara. And based on that, you cannot free your mind. So that fallacy of practicing letting go, you must see it clearly. So don't be gullible. Before the wisdom come, you are the way you are. With delusion, you will grasp, you will cling, you will hold, you will believe all these things. But the moment you awaken, you will see clearly the fallacy of practicing letting go. Who let go? The one that is still deluded want to practice letting go. How can he do that? He's still deluded. He will grasp, he will cling, he will stir his mind. But the one with wisdom does not hold. So there is no need to practice anything. He just understand free. That is the real understanding, awakening, the Dhamma. So I read the whole sentence. Now you will understand. The practice of letting go is a fallacy and illusion based on Dhamma knowledge, Dhamma logic, and not wisdom. The moment one awaken or understand, it is immediate and sudden. One is no longer deluded. Hence, one will not hold or cling anymore. When one cannot hold or cling, is there a need to let go? That is the question. Who holds? Only the one who is deluded with self-delusion will hold. We are ignorant. So how can the deluded one really let go? Without wisdom, one will continue to hold and cling because it is the thought that tries to practice letting go. So see this clearly, yeah? Okay, the next unique quote. The ultimate truth is the same, is most of the time the opposite of what is logical. So this aspect of Dhamma, only the enlightened being understand. Because when you have developed the wisdom and awakened, you will come to realize whatever that is logical within the conditioned world may not be the truth. The truth is the one that can explain the way things are, the reality. But whatever that is logical, most of the time is opposite of the truth. Like what we have gone through, right? Letting go, practice letting go is logical. But when you have the understanding, you look at it, it's a fallacy. You have become gullible. So all this, you will start to develop the understanding. So ultimate truth is most of the time the opposite of what is logical. So when we look at the world, when we experience life, it's as if everything is so real, permanent, and life can be so meaningful and beautiful. That's the reason why you always have the thought that tell you you can own things, you can have things, because they are real. So you always take the unreal as the real, the impermanent as something you can own and have forever, permanently. So that is the opposite of the truth. The truth is all these are unreal, impermanent, goes the way of nature, come and go, dependent on condition they arise. When conditions cease to be, it ceases to be. Then when you understand all this, then you realize the conventional truth that believe you exist, that believe all these things are real, everything that you can come to perceive, your possession, your wealth, your property, everything that you believe you can own and have, they are real. But you have the wisdom, the inside knowledge, the awakening, you realize all these are dependent originating mental phenomena, no reality. So this understanding, which is very penetrative, will free your mind. Then when you are deluded, you tend to cling, attach, wanting to own them, have them, thinking that when you have the ability to own them and have them, you will be happy. You are able to own things and have things. But the Buddha points towards the three universal characteristics. He said, whatever you think you own, if you were to meditate into it and insight through it, you will come to realize they are all impermanent. Impermanent in the sense that they are in a state of flux, following nature's law, condition arising, dependent originating. Therefore, not what you think, is not a permanent unchanging entity. So if you were to cling and grasp, you will suffer. Where you want things your way, which is not nature's way. So all this will become clear to you, because to the normal human being, if they can own something because they have the means and the ability, they have the money, then they buy, then they think they can own. But if you don't have the clear understanding, you will suffer. Because all this is an illusion, delusion. It's not what you think. When conditions are there, it appears it belongs to you. You can own it. The society's law recognizes it. Like buying a property, a house, a car, or anything that you want to own. If you can afford it, you buy it, then under the law, you own it. But did you really own anything? Well, you yourself is also impermanent, not real. When your identity ceases to be missed at the moment of death, when you cease to be, your identity gone, then how can you own anything? That's like condition no more, cease to be. Then maybe it become your inheritance. Somebody else will inherit. Because you can't own anything, really. So see this clearly. The empty nature of existence. All conditioned dhamma exhibit the same characteristic. Impermanent, leading to suffering. Then because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why you cannot hold on to it and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. Yeah. And nothing can be owned or possessed. Nothing can be clung onto. Mm. So all this understanding, when you meditate into it, when you are able to awaken to it, you will develop the clear understanding. Then when this understanding arises, you will come to a very deep penetrative understanding that everything that the mundane people, the worldly people perceive as permanent, enjoyable, very like beautiful or enduring, you want it to forever the same, lasting or something, they are not able to do it because it is a condition arising or causal phenomenon. Everything is in a state of flux. They come and they go. Nothing remains forever. That's why you cannot hold, you cannot cling. Then because it is impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's anatta, non-self, empty. And because it's anatta, non-self, empty, whatever that you experience is not so real, not what you think. In the sense that empty nature or existence, you cannot deny all these moments happen. But when I ask you the question, is it real? Is it tangible? As real as it can be, that moment when it ceases to be is already day and gone. And that is the only reality, the present moment. And how stable is the present moment? The moment you talk about it, split second is day and gone. Split second is day and gone. So see this clearly in your meditation. Awaken to it, then understand everything in this universe is not what you think. You cannot grasp, you cannot cling, you cannot hold. Everything is in a state of flux, dependent, originating, condition arising, also phenomenal. So awaken to this deeply, clearly, then you are no longer deluded. Okay, then we move on. Verse, unique quote 155. The moment you are attentive without thought, you are already aware or in sati. This one very easy to understand. Attentive means you aware, attentive, no movement of thought. Listen attentively. Silence your mind to attentively be aware of all the things that went on in nature. You can only pick it up through one of your sense door, consciousness. So when you meditate, same, relax, aware, maintain aware, awareness. Aware of what? Aware of whatever that arises within your six sense door. That is the cultivation. Just aware, finish. Aware, finish. So when you are able to develop the understanding that the moment you are attentive without thought, the key word is without thought, you are already aware or in sati. So don't have to try to be mindful or aware. Just relax, maintain awareness, and let the mind settle down and cease. When the mind settle down and cease, you will realize your true mind. You will realize yourself, your awareness, nature within. That is what meditation is all about. Not to look for it. Not to try to be mindful. That trying is by the thought. And the thought, when it's active, you cannot be aware, you cannot be mindful. Mindfulness can only be there when you are without thought. Then after that, thought can arise, yeah, the mundane mind can arise. But the awareness that is aware of this arising thought is different. That's why you can be with that moment where there is an emotion or a mind state. Be with it to understand. to develop that clear understanding. Okay, we move on. The next Namapada verse is 156. Oh, sorry, unique code. The next unique Dhamma code is verse 156. The Buddha taught heedfulness and mindfulness when it comes to purification of mind. Whereas the Buddha's first two advice are avoid all evil and do good. These are both thought-based, involving the four right efforts. So understand the difference. The four right effort is also very important. Where initially is thought-based. That's why the first right effort is right effort to abandon the right thought, right action, and right speech that has a reason. So this one is based on effort. That's why involving the thought. And the second right effort is to prevent the arising. And this one requires wisdom. Then the third right effort is to arise. The right effort to cultivate those right thought, right speech, and right action that are still not in you. Then the final right effort is to refine upon whatever right thought, right speech, right action that you have already developed. Then perfect them all. Okay? So this four right effort is very useful and it is still within the field of thought base, but it's very useful so that you can straighten your views. Okay, when it comes to the purification of mind, the Buddha said you cannot use thought. You must use the sati, mindfulness. Stabilize it until you become ever mindful, heedful. Then we move on to verse 157. The meaning of heedfulness or apamada in Pali is as per Dhammapada verse 23. This is for those who still not familiar with what heedfulness is all about. So heedfulness is defined by the Buddha as the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one. They will realize the supreme bond-free nirvana. Hence, heedfulness is equal to ever mindful plus constantly meditative. Constantly meditative means constantly cultivating noble eightfold path factor while in the midst of life. So when you combine these two, you become heedful. So to be heedful, we have to start off with mindfulness. Train your mind to be aware. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then make use of it to constantly meditate or cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path factors while in the midst of life, as taught by the Buddha. Then, unique code 158. The art of listening. Art of listening is when you are attentively listen without thought. Sorry, attentively listening without thought. That is true listening. When you listen without verbalization, without chattering, without any reaction from your memory, your knowledge and memory, that is the silent mind listening. To go back, the art of listening. So the art of listening is when you are attentively listening without thought. That is true listening. When you listen without verbalization, this is very important. When you don't verbalize without chattering, without any reaction from your memory and knowledge. So the reaction from your memory and knowledge before you have the initial wisdom and the understanding, you tend to do that. So see that in the meditation, in your awareness, in your daily mindfulness. When you start to see that, then you question yourself. You inquire, why am I doing all this? Is that the only way to act? Is that wisdom? If there is knowledge, there is not wisdom, then how should I act? Then you will start to understand. Before you have the right view, the initial wisdom, you don't know how to act. You act according to memory, views, opinion, and conditioning, belief system, and all those things. So all this understanding will enable you to understand this particular unique code, the art of listening. Now I read through the whole thing, then you will understand. Huh? The art of listening is when you are attentively listening without thought. That is true listening. When you listen without any verbalization within, without any chattering of mind, without any reaction from your knowledge and memory, that is the silent mind listening. You just listen with an open mind. Then whatever you listen, you can absorb very easily and very clearly, and you will not prejudge. So that is how a cultivator listens. They will not react or respond, they listen. Then they will know. That's why you just listen attentively, with full awareness, full attention, listen. If it's without understanding the truth, the Dhamma, then you will also know. But you will not prejudge. You will allow that whoever the speaker is to speak. Then you listen. Then whether it's right or wrong, appropriate or inappropriate, your wisdom will understand. Your nature will understand. That's why it will not argue. It will not go and create a situation out of what is being spoken. No need, no point. Yeah. When what is being spoken has the truth or the Dhamma or the higher wisdom and understanding than what you have, you will be able to detect them. You will come to understand that this speaker, this Dhamma speaker or Dhamma master is so wise. There are things that you have yet to develop the understanding, he can share with you. That is the depth of his understanding. And as a cultivator, you must have this ability. Because during the early days, when I listen to Dhamma, most of the time I can't find any truth, nothing. And most of the speaker, I just let it be, because hardly any truth within the half an hour, 45 minutes or 1 hour talk. Nothing. Hardly can you find any Dhamma or truth. But when somebody comes along with the real understanding, the moment he speaks, you really pay attention and you can know this particular person, he can share with you the truth which you have not heard before, which is beyond your ability to understand. That's why that one I can understand and grasp very fast. And sometimes that person who speaks, he quoted the truth, but he himself may not have the understanding. But once the truth is been spoken, the person who listens, if he is a cultivator with the past understanding, he will connect through. He will understand. He will awaken. That's the reason why a lot of things in life, in nature, is not what you think. So even though I have been telling you that earlier on, I have a lot of teacher, a lot of guide, but they don't really teach me in that true sense. They only share with me their understanding. Sometimes they just quote to me the truth or the understanding that they have developed or heard from somebody or read from somewhere, especially J. Krishnamurti. But the moment I listen, There's a strange understanding from inside my nature that can awaken to it and can develop the understanding. That's why I will just smile, then let it be. Then the understanding will come in. Then there is a lot of joy within. That's how truth can be so powerful, can be so potent, can awaken the mind of cultivators who are ready, or living beings who are having the condition to awaken to it. Okay, we continue with that. Your next Dhamma quote. Next page. Ah, yes. Unique code 159. Ah, finishing already. Oh, very good. We myself finish it. Unique code 159. Remember the code end 162 or 161. Oh, two more to go. Okay. Unique code 159. Spacious awareness without a center means this awareness or the true mind has no dwelling and no center for the mind to dwell on. Means this mind is a free mind. It's not dwelling anywhere. Means it's not holding on to anything. It's just aware. And this awareness is spacious, the oneness, without a center. It doesn't move from a center, like the mundane mind, like the personality, the sakayadity, the self-delusion. So there is no center from where it manifests and acts. But there is a oneness nature, the spacious awareness without the center. It's just aware. Then whatever that arises through one of the senses or multiple senses, it can simultaneously be aware. Then no matter how far it is, how distant it is, how that sound or vibration can be. If it wants to be away, it can be away. It can be something very, very far that normal senses cannot pick up. But this nature can pick up if it wants to know. If there is a condition for it to understand, it will understand. Then sometimes within the whole of the oneness nature, there are so many phenomena that arise and disappear within. Where there is like the pneumonia, where the phenomena within, they arise and sustain itself and cease, the coming and the going. So that nature can perceive or be aware of this whole thing. But normally it's just let things be. Let nature move on its own. That's why the whole pneumono can accommodate all of the phenomena within this existence. Then it can have the understanding to be one within the oneness nature. So this aspect of the spacious awareness nature is very beautiful. You have to be in this state to understand what I say. Otherwise you can't. So I will read through the whole thing. Spacious awareness without a center means this awareness or the true mind has no dwelling or no center from which the mind, for the mind to dwell on. There is no movement within, just aware. In a form of meditative posture, this silent mind, true mind, is one with the oneness nature. This awareness is non-active with no movement, occurs mainly while in the former meditative state. So when you are in the former meditative state, sometimes you can be in the midst of life, suddenly like everything stops. That nature can also arise. Otherwise, it's most of the time when you are in the former meditation, not doing anything, then the spacious awareness, the oneness nature just runs. Then you are able to be with that entire oneness. So that one is more probable. But the one in the midst of life also can happen. Very happened to my nature a few times. All of a sudden, I just stop. Then I am in that state. And inside that state, you know there is no being, nothing, nobody at all. Just that nature. And that one is very, very different. It's like, not only no fear, nothing, it's like, it is very brave in the sense that that nature is not worried about anything or fearful or anything. Even whatever it is, you can say God, non-human, demon or aggressive being or whatever, it cannot create any fear or any disturbance at all. Nothing. That nature is so powerful. But it cannot come out and live life, it cannot do anything. And yet it knows nothing can harm it. Nothing can come near it. But it will understand the form and mind is not real. And that nature is different, eternal, never die. And it's not a being. That's why it doesn't even come out. It cannot know things. Yeah. But it is that beautiful oneness nature without a center. So this one you need to experience it. So there is no movement within, just aware in a form of meditative posture. Then the silent mind or the true mind is one with the oneness nature. This awareness is non-active because you are not in the active mode, understand not? You are not living life. So this one is non-active with no movement. Then it occurs mainly while in the form of meditative posture or state. So what I told you in the midst of life one is when you are at that moment suddenly silent, everything. It can be in a standing posture or it can be in a moment when you walk and you stop. It happened to me a few times. Then the verse 160, specific phenomenal awareness. Now this one is easier to understand, easier to develop. When one is aware of a specific phenomenon, the mind also does not dwell because it is not lost in thought. When you are lost in thought, when the perception comes in, you dwell there. But this one is specific phenomenal awareness. Your awareness and the phenomena move as one. So it is not lost in thought. So the mind also does not dwell because it is not lost in thought. It does not perceive anything. The silent mind just flow with the specific phenomenon, like a moving car passing by. The word car and the concept of car, all not there. It's just the awareness and the phenomenon move as one. I have to describe it. That's why I say the awareness and the flow of phenomenon of that car as one. With awareness and the activity, the phenomenon, the movement as one. You just see that thing, the awareness and that thing move as one. Then when you look at that tree, the sway of nature, the breeze, everything, then your awareness flow with the movement of that tree or the branches and the leaves and all those things. Then sometimes the breeze within the nature, you can be with it. So specific phenomenal awareness means your awareness is specifically with that phenomenon. Then when you silent everything, when you are not with the phenomenon, there is spacious awareness without a center. So these are the two type of awareness that the enlightened being will stay in or dwell in. So for mundane living, most of the time is specific phenomenal awareness. But when you want to understand the mind that has no dwelling, the oneness nature, then you have to go into the spacious awareness without a center. It's better to do it in the form of meditation. That's why you need to awaken to that nature until it's very, very clear, until you understand, until you can illuminate that self nature. Until it's very, very clear. Then you will understand what that nature is, then how from there the mundane mind arise and surface and trigger off the phenomenal world of existence. Okay, the next one. Oh, the last verse. Huh? Direct seeing to see things as they are. This is the ability of the silent mind to see nature or what is as they are without words. That is to see all phenomena as they really are. To see all of physical, mental and nature's phenomena or flow. I call it flow because your awareness can flow with it. Understand? Like your physical body, when you are aware of your kaya, that is the kaya nupassana, mindfulness of your posture, your movement. So this aspect is the awareness and your physical movement or activity, they move as one. That's why body and mind as one. Your breath and the awareness move as one. Anapanasati, kaya nupassana, mindfulness of kaya, mindfulness of physical phenomena. So all this you can start to see. Then all the mental phenomena, mental flow, nature's phenomena, nature flow, you can see them all. You can only understand, you can only really understand what I say when your daily mindfulness is stabilized, when you can really do it. Otherwise, it's just idea to you, concept to you. That's why daily mindfulness, you must do. You must develop it. You must stabilize it. That way you can see them in the midst of life, in the midst of nature. You will rejoice. You will have a lot of understanding. Then you will know what I mean. And all this unique code will have a lot of meaning. So direct seeing to see things as they really are, I read again. This is the ability of the silent mind to see nature, or what is the reality, as they really are without words, without concept. That is to see all phenomena as they are, to see all the physical, mental and nature's flow. The mindfulness must be very stable. See, here I stated it again. Must be very stable to enable one to see clearly. The moment of its arising is sustainment and passing away of all phenomena. You can see this clearly, even within a few minutes, you will awaken. So the moment of its arising, followed by its sustenance and the passing away of all phenomena, is a very important ability. If you can be mindful of this, you will definitely awaken. But this is the direct seeing. There is no thought involved, no knowledge involved, no words involved. The silent mind just awakens. That's why I call this the direct seeing, insight into phenomena. This is how the mind becomes enlightened and transformed. So this is the part you need to develop the understanding. So that is the last unique code. We will end. So we shall rejoice. There is an index that can help you to check the subheading or subtitle that you are interested in. So all this, you can go to the code from what you see in the indexing. So this one we should thank Padmasuri and Brother Tim. They both of them come up with this. This is for cultivator to benefit them so that he can make their access to this unique code more easily. Whatever aspect of Dhamma that you want to understand, you turn to the index page, you can go to it. And you can develop the understanding. Okay, so at least we cover this book straight from the heart, unique Dhamma code by me, gratitude. So we shall rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, maybe today we can have more time for meditation. We are early, 7 minutes early. So I will give you maybe 50 minutes of silent awareness formal meditation. We will meditate for 50 minutes. Okay, I will off the light and we can start our meditation. With the sharing of the unique code, I think by now most of us would have understood how to meditate. What is that true mind all about? What is that silent mind all about, and why you need the four support to help you to develop the awareness-based meditation. The first three support is the most important. Relax into every mind state that arises, then allow the mind to settle down and just maintain awareness. Allow the mundane mind to slow down, settle down, and become very quiet and still. So when you maintain awareness, you will have the ability to realize the silent mind, the true mind. So with that silence within, you just maintain. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Maintain awareness. If you want to fall into the sleeping mode, you can hear your own snoring. At the first instant of that snoring, you will be awake. Then you stay awake again. Then until you about to fall asleep or go in the subconscious or unconscious, you just let it happen. You will go in. Then you will snore. You tend to snore. Then the moment that first snore, you will be able to maintain awareness. But you snore a few times until you don't know, miss. You have gone into the unconscious sleeping mode. So to meditate is to maintain awareness. The snoring is okay, but later on you can be aware of your own snoring. Initially is the moment is snore because you are aware, that's why the senses, the hearing consciousness is very clear. You straight away aware, then you maintain. That's how you maintain. That's how you are able to become more and more stable in your awareness until finally you can be all the time aware. Then later on, if you have the skill, you can go in with the awareness and let the body rest. The snoring can go on. You are fully aware of the snoring. Then whatever that happened inside the subconscious and the unconscious, the awareness nature is with it. It can follow until you wake up. It's like you never, the mind never lapses into the unconscious. That very moment you wake up, like you never sleep and you are not tired. You don't need to wash your face also. But that is the awareness nature. And you are very fresh, like you have rested. You have had a good rest. Okay, I will now let you meditate on your own. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then remember, stabilize the sati, then develop the daily religious routine to stabilize the daily mindfulness. In the form of meditation, most of the time is to train the mind to enter sati. Stabilize the awareness that you have developed until the mind enters sati, until you become very quiet, very still, until you realize the silent mind, paucity, tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind. And when mind enters sati, you become very different. You are sensitive, you are fully aware. And when you come out of the meditation, you also can maintain that state. And your spacious awareness, together with your phenomenal, specific phenomenal awareness, will be very different, very clear, very stable. Then initially, all your action and movement will be like magnified, very clear. Then everything you do is in sati. And that is the daily mindfulness that you need, the stability of it. that every moment is Dong'e, mindful, and you are constantly in the meditative state and ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. So these are the mind state you need to develop. And as you develop this mind state, stabilize it, you are able to live in that state. Your wisdom will keep on arising. You will start to see many things that you never see before. Your subtle mental intention, your reaction of mind, all the essential dhamma, defilement, everything you start to see, but you will not react to it. You will develop the wisdom to understand how they condition you into all those mind states and how you become deluded by it, how you defile, and how the suffering comes to be, the fear, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation, the insecurity. So all these are due to your delusion, wrong view, and your accumulation of these habitual tendencies, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your habitual tendency to act this way, to react this way. Then you will come to an understanding. In order to reverse all this, you have to straighten your view. You have to live your life completely differently, based on wisdom, understanding, not the old way, which is heedless, that leads to habitual tendency, conditioning, views, opinion, all the negative tendency. And when you straighten your view based on right view with regards to law of karma, law of mind, law of dhamma, truth, then you become different. Then you can act according to understanding, wisdom, following the Buddhist teaching, especially Noble Eightfold Path. Then you are incapable of negativity. Then you realize your life starts to change for the better. Character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, you become different. Then when you become different, you transform. Then people can feel you. Then people will understand that you are different, you have transformed, you have changed. So this is how cultivation develops. Then your mind becomes more and more calm, more and more peaceful, more and more aware, tranquil, still, heedful most of the time. You are no longer heedless. You no longer have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lament. You are always at peace, happy, joyful, able to accept the reality of the moment. Thing is just the way it is. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. The conditioned world has a set of nature's law, which is the conditioned dhamma. Whereas the unconditioned is based on wisdom, understanding. The unconditioned has its own set of unconditioned dhamma, which is born of the higher teaching. The higher teaching will have the wisdom to clearly comprehend all the conditioned dhamma, then understand the wisdom born of the unconditioned dhamma, which means it will know the phenomenal world of consciousness and form are impermanent, little suffering, therefore they are non-self, empty nature, not what you think. Anicchang dukkang anatta. Then this form and mind is not you, you know. It's dependent, originating, condition, arising, cause of phenomena, the five aggregate of form of mind. They are all of this characteristic. All this, you will have the understanding. And this is what meditation is all about, not the knowledge. It is born of wisdom, meditative understanding, the awakening. And you can only experience all this understanding and awakening from the silent mind, born of the stability of daily mindfulness. When you are aware, you can understand. When you are not aware, You are asleep, you are heedless, lost in thought. That's why the heedless are as if dead. Okay, so I will end the sharing up to here. So now we will open up for meditation reporting. If you have any meditation experience that you want to report, or any meditation experience that you want to share, or even ask any question related to meditation or the Dhamma, you can. Okay, we open it up. You can just wave your hand or come in on your speaker. Okay. Anybody? Anybody? Oh, I forgot to share. Today, Jin Hao and Brother Chong Kai Wen, they are here. They visited me at 2 p.m. and they say they will join the class from here. And afterwards, maybe we will adjourn for dinner. How you all find this unique Dhamma code? If you can report your meditation will be better, then I can guide you along. You just have to report to me exactly how you do it. Don't worry about right or wrong. I will explain. From the way you describe, I know whether you have done it correctly or not, based on understanding or still the old way, the conditioning. Because this thought-based meditation is not easy to give up and develop the understanding. Thought-based meditation has been there for so long, and almost 9 out of 10 of Buddhists, so-called Buddhists, who meditate, they all go for the traditional method, technique, and object of meditation that involves the thought. That's why the thought is very active. They develop maybe some form of calmness, good state of mind at time, but most of the time they are suffering, miserable inside them. And a lot of people struggle to be in the meditative state. That's why they alternate between walking and sitting. Some sit until they are scared of the pain. Then a lot force themselves to go through the pain until to the extent even monks who do it also collapse, fainted. That's why when you do without understanding, all this can happen. But when you understand, no need. Meditation is a very good way to de-stress yourself, to relax, to develop the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, to recuperate from a tired day, to bring about mental clarity, to develop the clear understanding of what metta, what mind is, what the various mental states that can arise when you have developed the understanding of what is meditation. Then all the beautiful mind states, they will arise. Then when you have the wisdom, you will be able to avoid all the eons, delusion. Then you are able to cultivate the various good quality of mind, especially virtuous and meritorious and wholesome action and speech. Thought process is very important. All of right thought, wholesome thought, beautiful, virtuous thought, they are there with your nature all the time. Initially, it's most of the time. Then as you stabilize it, it's like all the time. you hardly can become like unhappy. Not to say to be miserable. Unhappy also cannot how to become miserable. Those who become miserable is really, really suffering, within suffering, so miserable. Because when you are unhappy, there is a beginning of suffering. Then you develop the intense suffering and become miserable. Then some become so miserable until they become so depressed. When you enter depression, it's another deeper stage of misery. That's why they call it sorrow and lamentation. You're not only sorrowful, you lament. So. Okay, anybody wants to comment on the sharing or say anything about this unique code, unique Dhamma code? Because it has taken us many weeks to finish the unique code. And for this one, we should thank Sister Angie. She compiled all the unique code and forwarded it to me. Then I go through, I just edited and improved on some of them. And it turned out to be this beautiful book. So to understand awareness-based meditation, this unique code is the most important. That's why the title is Straight from the Heart, because it was delivered based on understanding. And this one you cannot find in traditional Buddhist Dharma book. Nowhere is it written. Nobody can write about it. Thus far, I haven't seen anybody who had that clear understanding to explain all this. What is the self nature? What is the true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind, the mundane mind? What is the deep? Very few people understand. And that true nature within the self, the awareness nature, not easy. So you should have a lot of gratitude towards the Buddha. Then you should cherish this beautiful teaching where it can help you develop clear understanding. Then when you understand, you can meditate. You can develop the meditation with understanding. And this is awareness-based meditation, no more thought-based. When you relax and aware, there is no thought in it. Understand that. Thought only arises when you have doubt, when you are confused, when you try to think and develop the understanding of meditation. And the gullible thing is, you think to meditate, there must be a meditator. And who is the meditator? The thought that is actively doing all those things become the meditator. Then when you understand, when thought is active, how can you be in the state of awareness, mindfulness, sati? How can there be silent clarity? When thought is active, you are heedless, you are lost in thought, preoccupied with the thinking and the reaction of mind. So this is very obvious. Why can't you understand this? Then why do you still create thought? Why do you still do all those thought-based meditation? Note here, note there, focus, concentrate, look for this, look for that. And who is looking? The thought, which is active, is trying to meditate, trying to know, trying to do all those funny things in the name of meditation. And for those who understand, like Jay Krishnamurti, they say, wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. Wherever there is effort, there is no meditation. So all this, only those who develop the true awareness-based meditation can understand. Otherwise, it appears so contradictory. They become more confused. They say, what is this Jay Krishnamurti trying to say? The Buddha teach right effort, and he tells us wherever there is effort, there is no meditation. That's why when you don't understand, you think it contradicts the Buddha's teaching. No, they never contradict. The Buddha teach the four right effort when it's at the thought level. That's why when the wrong thought that has arisen, the first right effort to abandon it, and that is thought-based, that is effort-based. But when it comes to purification of mind, he never said effort. He said develop sati, mindfulness, be aware. And what are the sati that you need to develop? Four foundation of mindfulness, sati, sampajana, leading to sati, patana, practices. So all these are in the teaching. So when you understand, you're no longer gullible. You know what to do. It become like very clear to you, very straightforward. Hopefully by now, all Kayamita can understand this.